Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. On Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to the Inspired Conversation Show. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And you know me, I am passionate about bringing you the conversations to remind you of your truth, your power, your inner strength, and your ability to create the life you desire. And today, my special guest is Julie Santiago, the best-selling author of Awaken, Six Sacred Steps to Remember Who You Are and Why You're Here. And I have to tell you, if you've been searching for what's next in your life, if you're ready to understand yourself more deeply than you ever have before, you're not alone. I know I'm going through it too. And as Julie and I will be speaking about, women around the world are awakening to their truth and stepping into their sacred power and wisdom. And in today's show, I will be talking about all this and more with Julie because her story just truly inspires me. So Julie is a former Wall Street trader turned writer, speaker, and transformational women's life coach. She graduated from Johns Hopkins University before rising quickly up the corporate ladder and eventually walking away from millions of dollars to follow her own soul path. Julie is now a certified master life coach, holistic health coach, initiated priestess, and Kundalini yoga teacher. She's led thousands of women through private coaching, group programs, and retreats. She's a spiritual catalyst for women who are longing for something more in their lives. Drawing from her personal experience and years of deep soul initiation, she guides women to break through the fear, remember their purpose, and awaken to their personal truth. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Linda Joy. I'm so happy and honored to be here.
Well, I am excited to have you here because as you and I just discussed prior to coming on the air, this is the message. The time is now for this message for all of us, women, and so many of us are awakening. But I'm curious, what does it mean to awaken? What does that word mean to you?
Well, it's so interesting. When I was listening to you share your intro just now, and there was a piece you mentioned of your work that is all about women creating the life that they want to live. That stood out for me deeply just now as you shared that. And as I continue to understand what both the word awaken means and, you know, this book and this kind of these sacred steps that were given to me, what I've come to understand is awakening to me and the work that I do is about us awakening, learning, waking up, remembering who we are and what we want. That's the first step. Who we are, really, not who we learn to be, but who we are, who we were born to be, like what that soul essence is beyond the masks and the labels. So remembering who we are at that core soul level. And then from that place, having in many ways the courage and the sovereignty to choose the life we live, not the life that's prescribed or the life that we should live, but the life that is in true alignment to who we came here to be. So that's what I understand as awakening, this remembering of who we are and why we're here, what we came here for, what is it that makes us feel truly alive, and then having the courage to go after that, to build that life that we desire to live, and not ever feel like victims, to our circumstances, but knowing, feeling, believing, and then acting on that internal power we have as women, as creators, to create that life. So that's what it means for me. And thank you for starting with that question.
Well, you know what it is I was really curious, and because, and there's a phrase you used a lot, is remembering, because that's what I personally believe too. I believe that we're born knowing our truth, and we knew we were here to shine our light. And then as we grew on the human journey, we took on all the scripts, the stories, the wounds, the beliefs that smothered our original sacred light. And all our job is to remember the truth of who we are. And that means expending our lives, excavating the shit that we picked up over the years so that we can get back to that light of who we are. And so what you just shared really resonated on a personal level, but also in the message that I shared through the books that I publish and the magazine is, ladies, you are divine as you are. You just may sometimes need someone to hold up a mirror to help you see your truth and your divinity. You don't need someone to tell you what it is. It's already there. You know. So thank you for doing the work you're doing in the world to help women remember.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So I'm curious, you were working on Wall Street, and you were young. I mean, late 20s?
Yeah, I was
in
my 20s.
When it's like you're document of the soul, you're awakening, you're like, oh, my God, what am I doing here? At that time, you weren't where you are now on your spiritual path. What were you feeling inside? And I'm asking this question for all the women who may feel trapped in a life they created.
Oh, yeah.
How did you know that you had to leave because it was costing you your soul? And that's my word, right?
Yeah.
Because so many women are feeling trapped, and I believe they're afraid or they're doubting themselves with the messages they're receiving from their internal guidance system to leave, to change, to do something different.
Yeah.
So bring us back to that time.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful question, Linda Joy. So I wasn't aware. I think this is the first piece. There's a couple of different phases in this process, and I'll just talk about the first two, because the first one was that I couldn't name what was off. On the outside, life looked great. It really did. And in some ways, it felt okay too, right? I think one of the things that I know in my own work and in my own life is that we women get really good at pretending. We get really good. We have such a high tolerance and high capacity for resilience and to make the most of whatever situations we're in. And it's one of our greatest gifts as women. And it can also be a tremendous downfall, because it can mean we're not being honest with ourselves about our lives. So the feeling for me at the beginning was, it was a phrase, there has to be something more. That was the phrase that I kept hearing again and again. Like, I would look around and I'm like, this is it? There's no way. Like, this is it? This is what I worked so hard for. This is what people say is, you know, I'm going to put quotes around success or the dream or the end goal. So there was this feeling of there has to be something more. And what was interesting is I wasn't connected to my own spirituality. I wasn't really connected with anyone else who was on any type of spiritual path. So I was living a very kind of three-dimensional life that for the people around me seemed good. Seemed okay. So we didn't have a lot of people to talk to about this. So it felt like I was crazy. And that comes up with a lot of the women that I work with too. They're like, no one understands this. I feel crazy saying this, or I feel guilty even feeling this. And all of those feelings were the same feelings I was having too. Like, I can't. And so I would just push it down that voice would come up and I would push it down, and I would push it down and ignore it with, by working more, but so overworking, or by drinking wine every night, or by eating too much food, right? So I was numbing because I was so afraid of what it meant if I were to listen to that voice. So that was really the first phase of that for me. It was hearing that voice. There has to be something more. This is not it. Everybody's crazy. You're crazy. And then ignoring it. And then the second phase is my body finally would not let me keep pretending that the life I was living was a life I was supposed to be living, or that I wanted to be living. We can just get rid of supposed to, but that I wanted to be living. I had ignored it and ignored it and ignored it. And eventually, life was whispering and whispering and whispering, and then it started yelling. And so, like many women, I think our bodies usually wake us up in some capacity if we're really strong-willed, and our bodies end up giving us feedback. And so that's what happened for me. I started getting sick. I herniated some discs. I was having unexplained digestion issues. It was like thing after thing that couldn't be explained. I'll put quotes around that, medically. But it was simply my body telling me that I couldn't keep ignoring what was true for me. And I think that happens in different ways to different people. You break an arm, you get sick, some people it's more extreme, death, divorce, losing jobs, right? But I mean, my belief here is that the universe speaks to us in whispers, and if we don't listen, it starts yelling. And so that was really the second phase for me. My body started yelling and I couldn't ignore it anymore.
And what was the defining moment when you actually walked in and handed your resignation papers? I know it sounds like it was a journey. It was an unfolding. What it did, was it, by the time you handed in your papers, was it liberating? Were you fearful? What did it feel like in that moment?
I was scared out of my mind, out of my mind. I had made the decision internally to leave the job about a year after I had a crack, and then I decided about a year later, I was finally ready to leave, and had made a plan, and I put quotes around it, but had made an exit plan, knew how much money I had saved, and had an idea of what I was going to try to do next, coaching, and then I made the decision, I said it out loud to my then boyfriend, who's now my husband, and some friends, and I was like, I'm done. I'm ready to walk away. And then the next day, my boss called me into the office to tell me that he was retiring and I was going to take over the entire West Coast office, literally the day after. And so it really spun me, right? In those moments of like, what's the universe trying to tell me? What's life trying to tell me? Is this a test? What's going on? And so it took me a couple of months to really sit with that and to really keep filing through that fear. And then 2 months later, I was like, this is non-negotiable at this point. I can't keep doing it. And so it was really ungraceful, Linda Joy. I mean, that's the truth of it. I really upset my boss and the people who had put years into my training. And, then I gave them 2 months notice, and just to help them in the transition. And it was a hard 2 months. It was really uncomfortable. And so I was filled with a lot of fear, a lot of doubt. It's not like I made the decision and I was 100% sure it was the right one. I was 51% sure I was making the right decision, but that was enough to carry me through. So it was a leap in a lot of ways, and a scary one. And I think it's really important to not pretend that these big changes in our lives or these changes that our awakenings can cause, sometimes they're really big and they really shake up our lives.
And that's why I asked the question, Julie, because I want the sacred truth to come out, because there's a woman right now waiting for everything to be perfect before she makes a life-changing decision. She's waiting for the fear to go away. And I know from the times I've stretched myself, which I've done many times, the fear doesn't go away. But the cost to your soul of staying and playing small or living inauthentically is costing you too much. So thank you for being so open and honest. That it was scary, but you did it anyway because the cost of staying was affecting your health spiritually, emotionally, and on every level. And that's why I wanted to ask that question, because we don't want to cover that up, because if someone, a woman listening right now who in her soul knows she needs to make a change in her life, whether it's leaving an unhealthy relationship, a job, career, whatever. And I think sometimes, and I know I did this in my younger years, I thought, well, if I'm fearful, that means it's not the right decision. And I'm like, now I giggle at that thought, right? I'm like, what does that? No, it doesn't mean that. You were meant to be uncomfortable. You are stretching into the next sacred container. So thank you again for that.
Thank you for that, stretching into the next sacred container. You're meant to be uncomfortable. That's huge. That's huge. Yeah.
It is. And so your journey after you left, that's when you began your spiritual journey, because you've been traveling all over the world. Taken a lot of trainings over the years since then, and now you're doing work as a transformational women's coach and so much more. What led you, you know, because as you said, you were disconnected from yourself in that career. Once you made it, did your spirituality open up? Like, what started you on that spiritual path?
So not at first. And this is actually the work that I'm committed to doing in the world now with women. One of the things that I didn't know, Linda Joy, at the time, is that it wasn't actually, it wasn't actually my job that was causing so much havoc in my life. It was me, right? So I say this now, it's not your job, it's you. Now, with that being said, I was absolutely not supposed to be on Wall Street. It wasn't where I was supposed to be. My soul was being crushed. However, I had to take a look at all of my own internal patterns and qualities, defects, really, in some ways, if you would even say that. My stuff, my patterns that got me into working on Wall Street, you know, overgiving, overachieving, overfunctioning, all of that, stuffing down my feelings, because quitting the job wasn't the solution. Luckily, I quit the job and then had the space to do the healing. But what happened for me in the year after leaving the Wall Street job is I just became a Wall Street version of a health coach. My transition out of Wall Street, I began to connect my own mind and body and found this kind of holistic health coaching program. And that is what I thought I was going to be doing. Of course, I didn't care about that in the long run. I wanted to do the deeper soul healing work, but I didn't know that. So I think that's one of the things, just to speak to what you were saying, is we think the fear is going to go away, or the path is going to reveal itself all at once, and then we're going to take that big leap or that step. But that's not the way that it works. We get the information for the next step, and that's really all. So I got the information for the next step, which was holistic health coaching. And so I became a Wall Street version of a holistic health coach, meaning I was still working 12 hours a day and super stressed. And I brought myself to the next phase of my life, as we do. Wherever you go, there you are. And so for about a year, I was still in the same patterns, just repeating them unconsciously. And about a year after I left the job, I found myself in the exact same space, being like, are you kidding? This is not it. This is not it. Like, there's got to be something more. Like, there's no way this is it. And so I paused everything. And for the first time in my life, I stopped trying to figure it out. I stopped trying to achieve or express or accomplish. And I admitted that I didn't know. I didn't know, and that I was willing to learn. And so that really began the spiritual journey, being willing to go into that dark night of the soul, being willing to say, I'm not sure who I am. I'm not sure why I'm here. Okay, I need to stop drinking wine at night so that I can feel my feelings, and I need to stop numbing out on food, or I need to stop numbing out on work and achievement. so I can really feel who I am. So that really catalyzed the beginning of the spiritual journey before I traveled to places. I had to learn to sit with myself and not fill my space or my time as a distraction. But that didn't happen right when I left the job. You know, I thought quitting the job was going to be the hardest part of the journey, but it was really just the beginning in many ways.
I love how you describe it as an unfolding. And we're going to jump to a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about this achievement addict, right? Because I'm seeing it so much, even in personal and spiritual development. The coaches in my circle are falling into that and losing touch with their sense of purpose and joy and love. And it comes up a lot in the group coaching calls that I do. So we're going to jump to a break. I am with Julie Santiago today, and I invite you to visit her website at juliesantiago.com/book, where you can learn all about her new book, Awaken. And we'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Julie Santiago. So, Julie, you talked about something that I see coming up over and over again, and I love how you relate it to it's not the job. It's until we heal something in ourselves that is causing the achievement addiction, or like you said, the numbing with food. You know, there's a whole list of things we numb ourselves with. Are you seeing a lot of your clients believe that their value comes from their achievements? Are you seeing that also?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yes.
And there was something you said earlier where you said, and I thought it was just so insightful of the awareness you had in yourself when you realized it's not the job. There was something in you that was wounded that believed you had to do 12-hour days, whether it was as a holistic health coach or a, you know, Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you help women with now in your coaching practice, is learning to help them decipher the voice of their soul from this old wound that is causing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is, Linda Joy. And you know what's so fascinating is I really have finally understood. I mean, this is talking about the unfolding. It has just been in the past, I would say, 2 years I've been working with professional corporate women, like in this achievement addiction thing that they don't even know they're in. But it actually hasn't been as clear to me since the release of the book the book really closed a chapter for me. And I finally was able to give language to the work that I've always been doing and am really stepping into now, which is healing this part in all of us, not women individually, but collectively as women that feel like we need to do, to achieve, to accomplish, to strive in order to be valuable, in order to be worthy. So many of the women that I work with who are such high functioning achievers in some way, who have so much success, there's a wound somewhere where we learned that we weren't good enough. I mean, period. And I think that's probably fair to say across the board for humans, but with high achieving women specifically, the way that we've learned to prove our worth, to get value, to compensate for maybe a belief that we aren't just valuable being who we are, but we have to do and achieve in order to get that value. And that's what leads a lot of women to high functioning jobs of, you know, nothing's ever enough. 12 hours isn't enough. I work 12 hours and then I go home and I feel guilty. And it's that super mom syndrome in some way, or super woman syndrome, that nothing's ever enough. And if we're operating and living life from that wound of not enoughness, nothing will ever be enough. No amount of work, no amount of accomplishment. It's why it's like a carrot that dangles in front of us. We achieve one thing and then we immediately go on to the next and the next. And it's this hamster wheel, and nothing's ever enough until we really heal that part of us that believes we're not enough.
Well, you're hitting home for me. I'm 56 now, but when I was in my 40s, I had another business, retail store. It's exactly how I felt. I had gone from welfare to opening my own business and kept it for 10 years. But through that 10 years, and that was in the 90s, I won all kinds of business awards, donated my time to women's shelters. But going back to what you said earlier about your body knows the truth, that's what I was ignoring, the signs. And so I was getting my value and my worth from these outside pats on the back. And when you said superwoman, they had written an article about me back then. Superwoman's cape must have been behind the door, because a local magazine followed me. And this was my awakening, Julie. They followed me for the day, wrote that article. And everyone else was excited when the article came out. And that was the title. And I remember everyone congratulating me, and I'm trying to get to my office at the store, right? And I locked the door when I got in there. And I dropped to my knees and said, oh, my God, I'll never be able to take this cape off now, because they labeled it. And I had been ignoring my body, continued to ignore it for 5 months, and had a mini stroke at 40 years old. Now, I share that because it ties in everything that you just shared of what we do to ourselves to smother our truth, to smother women the superwoman cape, where we feel that we have no value without the outside success. And it's been a journey from 40 years old to 56 to heal that wound that you just so beautifully shared about. And I shared that story because there's another woman who is not listening right now, who is refusing to let go of that cape, right? And you and I know that her value is not in the cape. Her value is in the essence of who she is.
Okay, I just want to repeat that back. Her value is not in the cape. It's in the essence of who she is. Yeah, our value is not in what we do. It's in who we are.
Yes, God. And that's why I do what I do in the world with Aspire Mag, the books, the radio show, and all my other brands is goes back to how we started this conversation, and the work you're doing in the world is help women remember the truth of who they are. Right?
Yeah.
So that's why I get so excited when I meet someone like you doing this extraordinary work in the world. I'm like, oh, yes, I'm going to get her on the show. Because how you show up in your work with such truth, authenticity, and vulnerability, and sharing in such an open way about your journey. I know that there's women who are listening today going, okay, it's okay to be afraid. Like, you're speaking to them right out in a way that they need to hear it from someone who's lived it. And I love that you don't hide the journey, the painful parts of the journey, because we're not doing service to other women if we hide.
We're not.
If we hide it.
Mm-mm. I agree with that so much. I think that's part of what's happening in the world right now, right? This surgence of women's circles and even professionally lean in circles, just so many different ways of women being honest with each other for the first time. I think for me personally, I do all of my work in groups now, small groups of women or small groups for retreats, because we have this idea that we're crazy or we're messed up or I can't tell you how many times I'm with my clients and these groups, small groups of women, and one of them is so afraid to speak because she's like, I'm afraid that this is, that everybody else has already dealt with this, or I'm not far enough along, or this is juvenile. The way we judge ourselves is so heartbreaking. And when we get together in circle with other women, we just realize and speak honestly and put down the cape and stop pretending that we have it together and start being real. We have this incredible way of healing ourselves. And of course, I believe the world. And I think that's so much of what we're talking about right now is, I mean, the essence of the feminine is feeling. It's emotion. It's feeling. It's the heart. It's the flow of love. I mean, that's what the feminine essence is all about. And this is just to take this a little bit more global. Like, you know, we have been, the feminine has been so repressed for so long. The essence of the feminine, our emotions, our ability to be real, to not be so perfect, has also been repressed for so long. So I think part of even what we're talking about is women giving themselves permission to be real, to listen to themselves, to follow their hearts, to feel their feelings, is really the resurgence of the essence of the feminine on our planet versus the patriarchal, you know, paradigm of work hard, push through, ignore your feelings, be strong. And those are ways that most of us have grown up, especially I think women who are high achieving, high functioning, who may work in professional or corporate settings. But across the board, we've learned that there's a certain way to be. And feeling definitely isn't one of them. Emoting isn't one of them. And so I think this is really what we're talking about, is a tremendous reclamation of the essence of the feminine on the planet. Whether we realize that's what's happening or not doesn't really matter. But to me, that's what feels like is really happening. The more we feel, the more we tell the truth, the more we reclaim the feminine on the planet.
Oh, I completely agree. And when we come back from our last break, I want to talk about, because your book has 6 sacred steps of awakening. And when we come back, I want to talk about if you have a favorite one. And we'll be back in a moment. I'm with Julie Santiago of juliesantiago.com. Be sure to visit her site, learn about her new book, Awaken, 6 Sacred Steps to Remember Who You Are and Why You Are Here. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you being called to step into your truth and embrace your divinity? Are you ready to align your heart and soul, live an authentic life, and become a divine magnet for love and abundance? It's time to listen to your inner wisdom and clear the blocks holding you back from your best life. Leading intuitive prosperity coach, Akashic Records practitioner, and evidential medium Jamie Hearn of liveyourdivinity.com empowers and supports spiritual women like you to align your inner and outer worlds, embrace your soul's truth, and live your divinity. Through her intuitive gifts, grounded wisdom, and empowered coaching, Jamie guides women back into sacred alignment with their truth. Visit liveyourdivinity.com to learn more about Jamie's empowering programs and to schedule an Akashic record reading.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. We are talking about remembering the truth of who you are and awakening to that truth. And I'm with Julie Santiago today. So, Julie, in the book, you share the six sacred steps of awakening. What are they, and do you have a favorite one?
Great question. Okay, so the steps are, the first step is awareness. Always the first step is awareness. The second step is acceptance. The third step is acknowledgement. The fourth step is appreciation. The fifth step is action. And the sixth step is allowing. So each of them really is a step on the awakening journey. Of course, I didn't realize that I could categorize steps until I was well on the other side of my initial awakening. And then I was witnessing these patterns emerge with all these women of, you know, the first thing is we become aware of what's working and not working in our lives. And we are honest about it. That's the first step. I would say that my favorite step, even though it's the hardest and it's the one that used to be my least favorite, is the second step, which is acceptance. And the reason for that is because what happens for most of us is we become aware or we hear that whisper, you know, of something, something's off, something's not working. There's got to be more. This isn't right. Whether that's about a job or a relationship or a home or a city, whatever it is. And then usually we as women want to do two things. After we become aware of something, we usually either want to immediately take action and do something about it because we're so uncomfortable sitting in this new awareness that we want that discomfort to go away. So we either take action to do something about it, to quote unquote fix it, or we ignore it and we numb it. We drink, we eat, we ignore, we push down, we work harder, we pretend. And so most women tend to do one of those two things after they become aware. And so I feel like honestly, one of the most important steps in this journey is learning to accept what it is that you're feeling when you're feeling it without having to do anything about it, to learn to sit in the discomfort without trying to fix it or without trying to avoid it. I say we're either fixers or we're avoiders in some way, typically. And so the second step of acceptance is accepting. Wow, I feel this way. Whoa, this is really uncomfortable. Wow, I've been lying to myself for a long time, or wow, I wasn't ready to realize it until now, with a little bit more compassion. So it's learning to accept where we are and where life is without running from it or trying to fix it. And then mixed in with this step is also the acceptance of ourselves, right? Accepting that we are where we are right now for a reason, and learning to truly just accept what is without resisting, fighting it. So that used to be my least favorite step. I spent 3 decades not accepting, not feeling. And now I believe it's one of the most important tools that we have. So I think that's my favorite one now.
Well, I, you know, hearing all the steps, it's for me, acceptance, you have to get to acceptance in order to get to the other steps. Because once you can drop down into your body and accept where you are, that's when I for myself, that's when my vision can take hold of what could be. But if all my energy is going to fighting what is, all the things I don't like, then it's pulling energy of from my joy, from my happiness, from my envisioning. So I would have to go, that one's a big one. That one really resonated with me. And allowing, it took me many years to be able to allow and to receive because I was the giver. So that's another one that as you went through the 6 steps that really spoke to me because we have to allow ourselves to receive, allow ourselves to trust ourselves, right? So,
yeah.
And those are the two that really jumped out. And I said, I remember going through those apart. So as you said them, it all made sense. Like I could, as you named your 6 steps, I could see that the times in my life that I've gone through them. Right, you know, through a situation. So those are, thank you for sharing them. And I invite everyone, please go to juliesantiago.com/book so you can grab a copy of Awaken. It is, the time is now. I really believe we're all being called to shift. And, you know, there's so many in my circle, and I'm blessed. I serve a lot of heart-centered spiritual entrepreneurs. Through my coaching and through my marketing services, which use love-based marketing. And the one thing I'm hearing over and over, especially I'd say the last 8 months, Julie, is they're feeling on a deep level that the time is now to shed the stories, the beliefs, the things that have been keeping them hiding in their own lives. And and they feel uncomfortable. And this conversation today, which I can't wait to share with everyone, is going to say it's okay to, it's going to remind them it's okay to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You're on the right path. Just keep following the whispers. Don't fight the discomfort. And I'm in it now. I'm transforming my whole business. And you know, I'm following a calling and it's very uncomfortable. I'm hosting my first live event called Sacred Visibility Live in November. And I'm like, what am I doing? And at the same time, it's exciting. And I know it's what I'm meant to do. But for everyone listening, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, just like Julie has, just like maybe the listeners have. And I'm uncomfortable on some days. And that's okay. I've had enough life experience to know that through my discomfort, something extraordinary is waiting on the other side because I'm trusting my soul, I'm trusting my vision, and I couldn't live any other way now.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you said that so much, Linda Joy, that this is an evolving process that never ends. And I think that is part of the sacred step of allowing. I say this in the book, that this is actually the step we spend most of our time in, right? It's we go through these steps and then we sit in this last sacred step for some time, learning to allow, right? Integrating. And then eventually we're called to begin this whole awakening journey again. Like what you're saying, there's an awareness that something wants to shift in your business. You go through the 6 sacred steps again of awakening to what's next. I'm in the exact same position in my own life. And I think that's so not regarding business, but around starting a family. And so I too, and I think this is so important to know that this isn't a one-time thing. I say this in the book as well. We don't awaken once. We are awakening time and time and time again, sometimes small little awakenings daily, sometimes big ones every maybe season or couple of years, right? Or decades, however it works. But women are always changing, period. And so if we are living truly in attunement and alignment and listening to our soul, our soul isn't going to stay in the same place forever. So it works for a little while, and then we get called to something different, to something else, to keep growing and changing. And it doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong, and it doesn't negate everything that we've done up until this point. It simply means that our soul is ready to grow again. And so I think that's so important, that just to for all of us to remember that this is an ever-evolving process. And if we're always listening, it means we're always going to be changing and growing. And that's such a relief to me. It's such a relief.
It is. And I tell my, you know, my tribe, there is no there. Mm-hmm. You know, you will always be unfolding. And your steps define it beautifully. But there is no, okay, I did this, I'm done. You know, the spiritual path is over. I don't want any more uncomfortableness. Well, guess what? Every time a new layer is ready to be healed, something will come up so we can go through the process again of awakening. And I honor and cherish that now only because I've been on this journey for since 91. And I know that every time another layer comes up, like I'm living right now, right? I know and have complete trust of what's on the other side because I practice just stretching myself. So that's what the six steps mean to me, is it's an unfolding. It's constant. It isn't that you go through the six steps and you're done. We're never done.
Right.
Not as long as we're in the human body. So I want to, in the few minutes that we have left, Julie, I want to talk about, because you have a powerful online community called the Gratitude Circle with over 41,000 members. And my gratitude practice changed my life back in 91 in every aspect of it. So I had a morning practice, and then about once I saw what it did for my life and my heart, I began an evening one. So, and I've done that since 91. How has gratitude been such a part of your life?
Yeah. Well, gratitude for me, actually, the practice began when I was still working on my Wall Street job and I was struggling with depression and, you know, some minor forms of addiction, right? And I was super down all the time. Now, I have a very firm grasp on reality. I've traveled all over. I've volunteered in very, very underdeveloped countries and communities with children. I know how good my life is. And yet, and even during that time, I knew how good my life was, objectively, all of the gifts. And yet, I couldn't feel them because I was so down. I was so focused on all of the stuff that wasn't working that I could not receive all of the beautiful things that were. I didn't know that, but I knew that there was some part of me that couldn't let in the gratitude, couldn't let in good, because I was so focused on the bad. And so for me, while I was still working in my Wall Street job, I had heard about the practice of writing down three things you're grateful for every single night, right? I mean, at this point, it's pretty cliche, right? It's like a very common thing many people who are on the self-development path know about. But having worked on Wall Street, I was like, this seems revolutionary. Okay, I'll try it. And I sat down the first night, and the only thing I could write was, I'm grateful for my family. It felt so trite. It felt so meaningless. It felt empty. It was literally the only thing. I'm grateful for my family. And then every single day, at the end of the day, I started trying. And then the list would get longer at night. And then what happened is, before I realized it, during the day I was looking for things to be grateful for so that I would remember them at night. And then before I knew it, not only was I writing things down at night, but I was just walking around saying to myself, I'm grateful for this. Wow, thank you for this. Wow, thank you for that. And honestly, Linda Joy, it was part of what catalyzed my awakening into both the health world, my health falling apart, the awareness that it was time to leave. It's really what pulled me, I think, out of the darkness. And I deeply believe in some ways we have to master what's in front of us before we graduate to what's next. Yeah. And I think part of my lesson at that point in life was being able to find joy, to find happiness, to find contentment, no matter where I was or what I was doing, no matter how objectively off it felt, can I still be appreciative for what is working? And so that catapulted so much for me, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And then about 4 years after that, found Kundalini Yoga, started practicing things for 40 days, which is about the time that they say it takes to change a habit, and started the gratitude circle originally as a 40-day gratitude circle. And then it just caught on. And so now we have it, you know, year round, and every year, usually in the U.S. between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or the end of the year, I should say, we practice for 40 days straight, where you come to the group every day for 40 days and write something you're grateful for. And I have watched people's lives transform. I mean, depression, anxiety lifted, relationships, marriages saved. It's just been really incredible to witness on a global level, on a global community level, how this can work when it's done consistently. So,
well, yeah, I have to tell you, beautiful. Your journey of why you started your practice, the thoughts you had when you first started it, mirror mine exactly. So I get it. I believe in the power of gratitude. It's changed my life. I'm now teaching my granddaughter, who's going to be 7.
Oh,
my grandson. Yeah. And to me, it shifts everything. And in the last moment together, I just want to say thank you for having the courage to transform your life and share your teachings with women around the world. This is what we're all being called to do. And I invite everyone again to visit Julie at juliesantiago.com. That's her website. And for her book, just go to juliesantiago.com/book. Julie, I want to thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much for the opportunity for this conversation. It was so beautiful and a joy. Thank you.
You're welcome. And to our listeners, until next time, choose joy, choose love, choose happiness. I'll see you next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Inspired Conversations.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.